Well, before we get started, before I get started on the message, I just have it in my heart that we would just continue to pray for our nation. You know, Jesus is still on his throne. How many know Jesus is still on his throne? He has not given that up. He's not going to. And the kingdom is alive and well and strong, and his kingdom is growing. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. So his government and his kingdom is increasing and increasing, and we are part of that. We are part of that kingdom. So hallelujah. But I just have it in my heart that we could just continue to just pray for our nation. I feel like we're on the precipice of some amazing things happening. I believe that there is justice and exposing and justice that is coming. So why don't you just agree with me, and let's pray for that. So God, we just lift up our nation, Lord, this nation, the United States of America. Lord, you founded this nation. You gave us this nation. And it's not perfect. There's like people just full of flaws, but yet you gave us this nation, and you gave us freedom. And Lord, we just pray that you would, by your Spirit, that you would expose evil, that you expose corruption, that you would continue to do this work that you're doing to expose that which is wrong. And Lord, that you would bring justice where it's needed, where it's warranted. God, that you would bring those that have done evil and wrong that need to be brought to justice, bring them to justice. And God, we pray that you would Lord, that we pray for your kingdom to come and your will be done in our nation, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Bless our country, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start, excuse me, with this. I heard about a man who was standing in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge admiring the view when another tourist walked up alongside him to do the same. He related this story. I heard him say quietly as he took in the beauty of the view, "What an awesome God." I turned to him and I said, "Oh, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am a Christian." I said, "So am I," and we shook hands. I said, "Are you a liberal or a fundamental Christian?" He said, "I'm a fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I," and we smiled and nodded to each other. I said, "Are you a covenant or dispensational fundamental Christian?" And he said, "I'm a dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I," and we slapped one another on the back. I said, "Are you an early Acts, mid Acts, or late Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I'm a mid Acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I." And we agreed to exchange Christmas cards each year. I said, "Are you an Acts 9 or 13 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I'm an Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I." And we hugged one another right there on the bridge. I said, "Are you a pre-trib or post-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I'm a pre-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I," and we agreed to exchange our kids for the summer. I said, "Are you a 12-in or a 12-out pre-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I'm a 12-in pre-trib Acts 9 mid-Acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "You heretic," and I pushed him off the bridge. Yeah, I worked at that. You know, I believe that, I just believe the Lord is bringing greater and greater unity to the body of Christ. I believe that he is bringing unity, and, you know, the world will know that we're his disciples because they're going to see the love of Jesus flowing through us. I have this anticipation, this excitement in my heart. I really believe, you know, I believe that we're living in a time and a day and age like none other. Like, I think, you know, we just need to pinch ourselves sometimes to go, you know what? This is an amazing time to be alive, because the things that the things that we've seen already in our lives, but the things that God is doing right now, you know, the move of God that's happening around the world is unprecedented. We might not be seeing things that are so dramatic in our nation right now, but there are things happening around the world that are unprecedented, amazing. The revival that's happening in Iran is unprecedented. It's just amazing. So we're a part of something that God is doing, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Can you say amen? All right. So on that note, I want to talk to you, I want to just continue talking about the prophetic. So the title for this message is Growing in the Prophetic. We started this last week, and how many were here for that? I mean, that just felt like a fun Sunday. I just really enjoyed just being able to partner with the Lord and just seeing God speak through each one of us. And so I want to continue talking about the prophetic. And I want to start by asking this question: why prophecy? You know, I remember a spiritual leader, a pastor at one point in time, telling me, you know, just their concern about the prophetic, and this person was just like, you know, the prophecy is dangerous. And you know, I started thinking, I'm like, you know, anything that is powerful can be dangerous. Anything. There's lots of good things in life that are powerful, that are amazing, but if they're used the wrong way, it can be dangerous. And it's, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. You know, how many know that the Word of God in the hands of the devil is dangerous? Right? You know, I mean, the devil loves to use. In fact, I mean, how did he tempt Jesus, you know, in the desert? He used Scripture, didn't he? But he used it. It was the wrong application of Scripture. And then Jesus quoted Scripture back under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he defeated the enemy. So anything that's powerful in life, it can be dangerous. And prophecy is a gift from God. So why prophecy? The first reason I want to suggest is because Scripture instructs us to use prophecy, to not only use it, but to press in and to pursue it. So I want to read this verse in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, Paul says, pursue love. He just gave this passage in chapter 13 about love, the amazing. We know probably most of us are familiar with the love passage, 1 Corinthians 13, and it's this beautiful, amazing passage. And then in the verse 1 in chapter 14, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so why? He goes on to say a few verses later, verse 4, he says, because the one who prophesies builds up the church. And so Paul, you know, in chapter 4, he gives this this argument, really, for prophecy, and he's also bringing a correction, because in the Corinthian church, there were times when things were a bit chaotic, and, you know, we're reading between the lines as you read the letter to the Corinthians, you see that things at times were a bit chaotic, and so there were people not prophesying, but also speaking in tongues, and he's like, you know what, speaking in tongues is good. But what happens when you speak in tongues, you're building up yourself. But when you prophesy, you're building up the church. And so he's like, I pray in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather you prophesy so that the church can be built up. And so the result, the effect of prophecy, is that it builds up the church and it changes lives. So I want to see a show of hands. How many of us in the room here, at some point in time in your life, you experienced a prophetic word that impacted you powerfully? Could you raise your hand? Okay, so keep your hand up and just look around. I mean, that's probably most of us. So, which tells me I'm preaching to the choir. So most of us have been impacted by a prophetic word at some point in time in our lives. And I can look back in my own life, Carolee and I, and we can look at points in time in our lives where it was life-changing. I think back at these times when I received a prophetic word, or when we received a prophetic word, and it changed our lives. And so what I said last week is that God has good things to say, and he's speaking all the time, and his first language is not English. And so we have to learn how to speak, how to hear the language of the Spirit. Last week, I told a story about how the Lord gave Carolee and I at the exact same time, on the same day, we were in different places. I was in a truck driving across Montana. She was at home. And the Lord spoke to us, Isaiah 7:11. And we had not compared notes beforehand. We didn't know this was happening, but it was happening to both of us the same time, the same day. And when I came back, I was on a hunting trip, but when I came back and we compared notes, we were both astounded to find out that the Lord had spoken the same thing to us at the same time, Isaiah 7:11. In Isaiah 7:11, Isaiah is telling Ahaz by the word of the Lord to ask for a sign. He says, ask for a sign for yourself, though it be in the highest heaven or the lowest, deepest depth, but ask for a sign. And why? Because Ahaz was having trouble believing. Ahaz was not following Yahweh. He was not following the God of Israel. And so God's like, I love looking at the heart and the character and the nature of God when he's just like, oh, I so want you to believe in me. I so want you to follow me. You're the king of, actually it wasn't Israel, king of Judah. And I want you to know the truth. And so ask for a sign. You can make it as impossible. You know, the highest heaven, the lowest depth, doesn't matter what it is. Ask for a sign for yourself so that I can prove myself to you, so that I can prove my love to you. And so when Carolee and I, we got this word, we're like, wow, what's the Lord? I realized last week, I didn't finish that story. And so we were just like, what is God saying to us by this? You know, we were learning to the language of the Spirit. And so we started pressing into that. We're like, God, what are you're telling us to ask for a sign. So for what? We're like, ask for, a sign that he's with us, that he's for us, that he has plans for us. And so we reflected in our hearts. We're like, what are we going to ask for? And we asked, we just both knew it was like the biggest thing that was in our hearts is that we would have a house and land in Montana. We were renting a house at the time. And this was so strongly in our hearts and had been in our hearts. Actually, at that point in time, it had been in my heart for well over a decade and maybe close to two decades actually at that point in time. And so we started asking for a sign, a house and a land. We wanted a house and a land. And you know, we held on to that word for years. We actually, we must have got that, I think, in January of 2003. We bought our land in 2014, I think, 2013, something like that. So a decade later. And then we started building in 2014, and we finished our house in 2015. And so during that entire time, we had this prophetic word that we held on to. When nothing, it looked impossible. When everything looked impossible, we would just go back to this prophetic word. God, you spoke to us about to ask for a sign, and we asked for this, and we believe you for that. We know, in fact, we had received actually other words where the Lord had said he wanted to give us a house from other people that gave us these words. So what is prophecy? I mentioned this last week. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's listed here in 1 Corinthians 14:3. He says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And so the words in Greek, edification means building up. Exhortation means drawing near or calling near. It can also be translated encouragement or comfort or consolation. And then comfort is comfort. And so the fruit of prophecy is encouragement. And we'll look at a verse that describes that in a minute. But let me just touch on this briefly again. I mentioned this last week, but just as a review, there's a difference between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy. You know, oftentimes we look at the Old Testament and we see God's interaction with the nation of Israel, and the word of God would come to a prophet and he would bring that to the nation. And the sign of a prophet, the prophet of God, was that if it was accurate, if it came true, they were a prophet of God. But if it wasn't accurate, you knew they were a false prophet. And that was the test. That was the litmus test. Is that if, you know, it was like pass, fail. I mean, it was like, you know, either it was on and it came to pass. And God even said in the Old Testament, he said, you know, fear such a person, respect that prophet, because when it comes to pass, you know that is a prophet of God. But if it doesn't come to pass, that is a false prophet. And, you know, they were to stone a false prophet. In the New Testament, how many are glad that we don't have the same standard in the Old Testament as, man, I wouldn't try prophecy if we had the same, you know, standard as in the Old Testament. But the reality is, in the New Testament, we live under a new covenant. And that's the point of a New Testament, where it's a new covenant. We are under a new covenant. And under the new covenant, Jesus, when he ascended to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is dwelling in every single one of us. We've experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so every one of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And because of that, we're instructed to judge prophetic words. So Paul says this in this chapter 14, verse 29. He says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Why? Because they might not get it right. Because they're not called to be infallible. Prophecy in the New Testament, you know, Paul says this in verse 9 of chapter 13. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. So in the New Testament, God doesn't expect us to be infallible. We know in part and we prophesy in part. So we don't, you know, none of us has the entire thing. Not like in the Old Testament when the word of the Lord came to a prophet and they were given the whole thing. In our case, we receive it in part. And so what the Lord has instructed us to do is to judge prophetic words. When a prophetic word is given, then we're all to weigh that before the Lord. And, you know, and then if it's not right, it's okay. We're learning. Every one of us, we're human. It's part of being human. It's also part of taking risks and stepping out in God. I mentioned this earlier. What's the result of prophecy? It's encouragement. The whole purpose of prophecy is that we would be encouraged, that each one of us would be encouraged. And so Paul says this in verse 31. He says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. The fruit of prophecy is that we would be encouraged. Now, let's press in. That was just a review, but let's press in here to how does prophecy work? You know, there are many ways that God speaks to us. I've listed a couple here: dreams, visions, trances, audible voice, and there are many others. That's not an exhaustive list. There are many other ways the Lord speaks to us, and so, again, it's this idea of learning how to discern, hear and discern the language of the Spirit. When I was still young in the Lord, at least in the prophetic, I remember going to a conference, and at this point in time, we were not connected with Bethel. I was still in the Air Force, and we were living in Great Falls. And I went to this prophetic conference in Colorado Springs, and there were a number of different speakers that spoke there. And there was a prophet who was teaching on the prophetic. I think it might have been Bill Hammond. I'm not sure if I remember that exactly right, but I know he was there and he spoke. But so this prophet was teaching on the prophetic, and then he did this, you know, imparting, and he had us all stand up, and kind of pair off with somebody beside us and then just try it. Now, I was so freaked out. Like, I was really freaked out. Like, I'm like, how do I do this? I do not know how to prophesy. And so I'm, you know, paired up with this guy in this very large conference. And so I kept trying. I'm just trying so hard. I'm trying to get this prophetic word. How many can relate to that feeling? Like, you know, just like, I'm just like, oh God, I'm trying. I want to get a prophetic word for this person. And, you know, I want to get it right. And I look back on that and I'm like, I got nothing. I mean, the only thing I was noticing was this cowboy belt buckle, you know, and I didn't, and nothing was coming to me, and I don't even remember what I said to him, but whatever it wasn't right. And I knew it. And I'm like, man, I do not know how to, I don't have this gift. I don't have the gift of prophecy. That was what I concluded. But years later, when I was in the School of Ministry at Bethel, I struggled. I really, and I'm going to tell a few stories, but I struggled with learning how to operate in the prophetic. I had experienced prophetic words from a number of different people in different situations and had been rocked by them. But for myself, I'm like, I don't know how to do this, and I don't get this. And so even after a full year of the school ministry, I was starting second year, and I had prophesied lots during that year, but the enemy was attacking me. And so I remember this one occasion, the beginning of second year of the school ministry, when I internalized the lie again, that I can't prophesy. This is just not me. It's not my gig. And not realizing that it was a lie. And this classmate of mine, he comes over to me and he goes, I mean, this is the process going through my mind. You know, I can't probably. He comes over to me and he goes, give me a prophetic word. And just like out of the blue, and I'm like, what? He goes, no, give me a prophetic word. I'm like, I don't. He goes, no, you need to give me a prophetic word. And so, you know, he's like totally partnering with the Holy Spirit, but I don't know it. And so I just like closed my eyes and I'm like, you know, and he's just like, I think he said something like, don't try so hard. And so suddenly then I had this word for him and I gave it to him and he said, see, you do have the gift of prophecy. Like, he totally read my mail and just broke that lie off of me. And I haven't really struggled since then. I don't think I have that as a super strong gift, but I do operate in it. So prophecy is for all of us. So let me just talk a little bit about the majority, at least the majority of the way I receive prophetic words, and I think probably most people in the church, it comes through faint impressions. You know, I used to be like, okay, I'm ready for the, you know, the megaphone, you know, just like this, you know, word from God that is just like this loud megaphone. But I almost never, ever get that. I don't want to say never, ever, because I don't want to put myself in a box. But I think very rarely have I ever received anything like that. Mostly for me, it's a faint impression, and it usually comes through what I see, what I hear, or what I perceive, not in an open vision or through the natural senses, but through my the language of the Spirit, through my heart. The eyes of my heart, or the ears of my heart, if you will. And sometimes, occasionally, I have received, like, you know, something that I see pretty vividly, and I'll prophesy out of that, but that actually is very rare as well. I know a number of people that's kind of how they prophesy. They'll just, like, see something very clearly, and they'll prophesy out of that. For me, what happens with me, and I'm sharing this because I think that this could help some people in the room. For me, what happens is I get this perception. And so I'll just have this kind of like awareness of just like a sense in a direction. And I won't even have words for it. And then what happens sometimes, like maybe I'll hear something And I have to, I usually have to go, wait, is that my soul? Is that my spirit? Is that the Holy Spirit? And a lot of times in the past, I would think that I was getting like a prophetic word. It was something I was hearing, and I realized that later, no, that's my soul. And so what I have to do is I'll go like, okay, I'm just not going to listen to my soul, and I'm going to press. I even kind of visualize it on the inside of me, like I'm going deeper past that voice that's my soul to a deeper spot where it's a lot fainter. Is this making sense to anybody? Like, and so when I get there to that place and I'm in the Lord's presence, I have this sense of something. And out of that sense, then I'll be like, Lord, I'll often be working to put that into words. Sometimes from there, it develops into a picture. But this is, for me, this is how I prophesy. And I've seen the Lord use it so many times that, I still don't get it right all the time. Many times I don't. But I have seen him use that. So I know that for myself, that is one of the primary ways that I operate in the prophetic. And so I want to give that, I just want to give that as an example, because for me, for a long time, as I said earlier, it was like I would get mixed up between what I was hearing, and so I would hear things, and it was like, what is that? Is that my soul, or is that the Holy Spirit? And most of the time, it was my soul. Okay, so let me ask this question. Who initiates prophecy? I mean, is it God, or is it us? It's both. Yes, it's both. Prophecy can be, it's often initiated by God, but it can be initiated by us too. And there are plenty of examples in Scripture where prophecy was initiated either by God or by somebody else. So I want to tell you a little story. I have South Africa there to remind me to tell you this story. You guys okay? Is everybody okay? Yeah? Okay. So I was in South Africa on a ministry trip, yeah, with Chris Overstreet, and we were ministering at this church, and I had given a number of prophetic words, and so there was this older lady, and I felt, now I recognize that it was the Holy Spirit, but at the time I wasn't cluing in that this was the Holy Spirit. But this older lady, I just kept sensing, like, go give her a prophetic word. And I'm like, what am I going to give her? I'm waiting, like, for the word. And I'm not getting anything. I just kept kind of, like, trying, and I'm not getting anything. But I kept getting this impression, go give her a prophetic word. Well, I wasn't getting anything. So I kept going, like, no, I'm not going to go over to her because I don't have anything. And so I finally just kind of dismissed that. And this other lady, she comes over to me, and she says, would you prophesy over my friend? And it's this lady who I kept, like, I'm not going to prophesy over her because I don't have anything. So she comes over, would you prophesy for my friend? And then now I know, I'm like, I can't get out of this. So I said, okay, sure. And so the whole way I'm walking over, I'm like, God, I need a prophetic word. And so I get over to her, and I think I asked if I could put my hand on her shoulder. And she didn't speak English. She spoke Afrikaans. And her friend was translating for her. And so she said, sure. And so I put my hand on her shoulder, and immediately as I was waiting on the Lord, boom, it came. I don't remember what I prophesied. To this day, I don't remember. I remember, I think it was a bunch. And so I started prophesying, it was going through the translator, and then she just starts weeping, like she's just weeping, tears are rolling down her face, and I finished, and I walked away, and I was just like, God, I would have missed that if it wasn't for her friend that came. And she obviously needed that prophetic word. And God, when God gives a prophetic, oftentimes, the way, like, he likes to pick even the person who's going to give the word, like, because even the way we give it, sometimes it's couched in our personality, because he doesn't take over our personality, right? He gives the word that he's going to give, and he gives it through us, and he's partnering with us, and sometimes he just wants a certain person to give the word that he wants to give. Does that make sense? So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about prophetic etiquette. I mentioned earlier that the result or the fruit of prophecy is that it needs to be encouraging. I do believe that in the office of the prophet, we have the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's found in Ephesians 4, and I mentioned this last week that the role of the fivefold ministry is not to do the ministry, but to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's what it says in Ephesians 4. Can you say amen? So the role of the prophet is not that the prophet, is the only one who prophesies in a church, but the role of the prophet is to equip the saints to do prophecy, to do the work of the ministry, to prophesy. So that's the reason why in 1 Corinthians 12, prophecy is listed as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, because it's available to everyone. It's available to all of us. So so I'm going to just tell the story of how the Lord just kind of unlocked the prophetic in me. I was in the first year school of ministry at Bethel, and like I said, I truly believe that I don't prophesy. That's not my gift. I tried at this conference. I've tried other times, and I just don't get it. And so this is kind of my underlying belief system. And so we had these prophetic classes that we would go to the prophetic class, and my class was taught by Nancy Cobb, and so we had probably 80 people in a class, or maybe 100, I don't remember, but she would have a person, she'd pick somebody, and she'd have them come up front, and then we were supposed to get a prophetic word. She had lots of different exercises, but this was one exercise she had. And so we were all supposed to get a prophetic word for the person that she picked. She'd have them come up and sit down. And so this, I noticed this one time, it was early in the class, and she's teaching, and she's imparting at the same time. And so she picks this young gal, to come up. And before I can start trying to get a word for her, I think her name was Amber, I see a picture of a daisy. Now, here's a situation where I actually didn't have the perception. I actually had the picture in my mind's eye of a daisy, a flower. So I have a picture of a daisy, and then I see a horse, and that's it. So she goes, and she sits down, and everybody's like, giving her the prophetic word that they're getting, and I raise my hand, and I said, well, as soon as you stood up and started walking, I immediately saw a daisy, and then I saw a horse. And so everybody finished, and then so she's giving feedback to everyone. And she says, and she, is giving feedback to everyone, and she says, daisy is my favorite flower, and I have 5 horses. I live at, wherever she lives, she had 5 horses. And it was encouraging to her because, I didn't really have this is what the Lord is saying out of it. It was actually, I guess it would have been a word of knowledge. But, and there's a difference between, maybe I should explain this real quickly. The difference between prophecy is the future. It's like telling the future. It's prophecy. But a word of knowledge is something that you can't know except supernaturally that can be verified in the present. Okay? So, what was amazing is that for me, I'm like, oh, wow, I hear from God. That happened before I could try, before I could work at it, I was relaxed, not really trying, and boom, a daisy and a horse went through my mind, and we were both encouraged. She was encouraged because God was like, I know you, daughter, and for me, it was encouraging because I'm like, oh man, I do hear from God. So, one thing that I want to say, so number one, prophecy needs to be encouraging. So when you're going to give a prophetic word, first, try it out on yourself. If I was to receive this, would this be encouraging to me? Try it out on yourself. So first, it has to be encouraging. Number two, not judgmental, not a warning, not corrective or directive. So I will say this, the office of the prophet, I started to say this, prophets operate out of their office as a prophet. And so, you know, what I'm laying out here is a prophetic culture, an etiquette. It's the culture that we want, that we have established and we want to continue to establish. And in this culture, there are guidelines that keep it safe, keep us away from the places that, you know, I mentioned the pastors that said before, it's like prophecy, they, you know, called it dangerous. It can be, but there are ways for it to be safe and used by God powerfully. And so as we establish a culture of the prophetic, we want to have just kind of like I pictured like the bumpers, you know, in a bowling alley that keep us from going in the gutter. So prophetic words in this culture for us, you know, I just say need to not be judgmental, not a warning, not corrective or directive. That they're words that would be encouraging, that would build up or bring comfort or to cause people to draw near. So I'm going to tell another story. I was in South Africa on the same ministry trip, and we were all up front as a team prophesying like we did last week, and I was on this team, and at this point in time, I mean, I was really nervous, still nervous about the prophetic and operating in this way, but there was a, and so I'm just like, God, please. And there's this young lady who walked in, and she, the best way to describe is that she just had, it was like this darkness, that I saw the, like this darkness on her. And so we had been instructed, it's like, hey, we're not going to prophesy, you know, out of a corrective or directive or a negative. If I was to say, you know, I just see this darkness on you, that would not be encouraging. You know, I just see this darkness all over you, this black, I mean, that would not be encouraging, right? And so what we had learned was when you see something, sometimes we are seeing things from the second heaven realm, which would be the realm of the spiritual realm of the enemy. But what we need to do is press into the third heaven realm, which is heaven that we think of, where the Lord, you know, where he reigns from, and get his perspective. So rather than just stay in the second heaven spiritual plane, but to go to God's, because God has a perspective, right? His perspective is all about freedom and breakthrough and healing. And so I'm seeing this darkness over her, but then I'm like, but God, what is the answer that you're wanting to do? And immediately, and I never had this before in my life, but immediately I got this word sunlight, and it was spelled just like that, but it was just went in my mind, sunlight, and I could see the like sunshine shining on her, breaking this darkness. But I knew it was the Son of God, and so when it came my turn, I prophesied over her, and I just was saying, you know, I see this sunlight, and it's S-O-N. I see the light of Jesus shining on you. And as I said this, as I said these words, I don't know exactly what I said, but it was something like this. When I see this, the light of Jesus shining on you, the Holy Spirit hit her and knocked her down, and she's quivering on the floor being delivered. And I'm like shocked. I'm like, now what happens? Like, what, is there power in these hands or what? You know, like, because I went like this, and the Holy Spirit hit her and just knocked her down. And then I didn't know what to do. Chris Overstreet looks at me, he goes, keep going. And so he's just like, well, just go over and pray over. So I went and prayed for her. And I had the word witchcraft in my spirit. And I'm like, well, that's not encouraging. But I knew the Lord was breaking witchcraft off of her. And so I went over, and she's on the floor, and I mean, she's shaking and just vibrating. I went over, and there were a few of us, and I think they just kept ministering. The team did, but I just put my hand on her and started praying for her. And there were a few of us around her, and I just asked her quietly, I said, is there anybody in your family that's involved in witchcraft? And do you have a witch doctor or witchcraft? And she said, yes, there is. And I said, well, the Lord is breaking things off of you right now. And this was privately. This wasn't in front of the whole church. And I said, the Lord is breaking things off of you. And I think I had her repeat some things after me. And then she got completely free. It was amazing. It was so, I mean, it's like one of those moments where you're like so thankful to be used by God. You know what I mean? It was God. God did it. I didn't do anything. God did this. But he uses us. And it's a privilege. It's an honor to partner with him. And so this was, it was amazing. We had, a few days later, we had another service in the same church. We were back at the same church, and I watched her. She came in the building. You wouldn't believe she was shining like the light from her countenance, from her eyes, and from her face. It was just like night and day. You could hardly tell it was the same person. It was amazing. So somebody say amen. Okay, so not judgmental, warning, corrective, or directive words, nothing that would be discouraging. If we're getting something from, you know, it's like we have to be very sensitive, you know, like how, in this case, I had the word witchcraft, but I didn't say that in front of the whole church, and I did that very sensitively and carefully in partnering with what the Holy Spirit was doing. So, here are a few more guidelines. No mates, dates, babies, or directive words. I already said directive. No direction. Of course, you know, I know God has used Chris Vallotton to prophesy a baby. In fact, a friend of ours who God told Chris, he said, if you don't prophesy this baby, it's not coming. And so a friend of ours, long-time friend of ours, Chris Vallotton, prophesied this over them, and she got pregnant. They had been trying for years and years and years, and then she, after he gave that prophetic word, she got pregnant. So, also, I just want to say that I want to talk for a moment about delivery. I'm almost done, guys. You guys okay?
Yeah.
Going a little bit long, but I think this is important. So, in our context, there are lots of different ways prophetic words can come, but in our context, you know, we really discourage the thus saith the Lord. First of all, you know, who talks in King James English, right? And, I mean, you know, God doesn't need King James English to communicate to us. So, you know, we want to be relatable to the world around us, and so I just want to encourage you to, like, you know, we all come from different cultures and different backgrounds. I feel like this microphone's about to fall. But I want to encourage you to let's do our best to be relatable to people. And so, you know, try to get rid of the King James English. But also, we want to also encourage you to use words like I feel. You know, I feel like the Lord is saying this, I feel like the Lord is saying this, and to avoid words like the Lord says this, the Lord's saying this. The reason why is because for all of us, you know, we need to be in a position as we give it, that it's like, I'm going to give the word, you wait, I'm going to let go of it. I'm just the messenger, I'm giving the word, and then I let go of it, and then you decide what you're going to do with it. Your job then is to weigh it before the Lord. And it may be right, it may be not, it may be off, but by doing that, then we're operating in a spirit of humility where it's like, okay, I'm giving the word, and it is what it is, and then we all get to judge it. Does that make sense? So it's just a safeguard, you know. If I come in and I said, the Lord says this and the Lord says that, it may be 100% right, but what if it isn't? What if I miss it that day? And so then somebody's like obligated, well, the Lord said this. And, you know, so we want in this culture, we want to just kind of avoid that. I know there are plenty of cultures that use that kind of language, but for the most, and I'm not here to criticize that, but for the most part, we just want to avoid that. Can you say amen? Okay, and then lastly on prophetic etiquette, what if we miss it? What if, you know, what if the giver, the sender misses it? Well, I mean, hey, we just have to acknowledge that we're human. Sometimes we're going to miss it. Sometimes we're not going to get it right. And just like, okay, I didn't quite get it right, but I'm going to try. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to grow. If you receive a prophetic word that you're like, I don't feel like that's accurate. This is just not bearing witness with my spirit. What do you do? Yeah, flush it. Just get rid of it. Flush it, you know. It's like, okay, I'm not gonna take that on. I'm not gonna accept, you know. There are also times, though, I will say this, that sometimes we get a prophetic word and it may not make sense to us in the moment, and in those, but we're like, I don't know, this might be right, this might be wrong. Those are the times when you just put the word on a shelf and go, you know what? I'm gonna put it on a shelf, I'm gonna leave it there. And if that's something that is you, then you're going to bring that word off the shelf to me at the right time. Amen? Okay, so what I want to do, this is the thing that I want to do today, is I want us to press into activation. So I know that, you know, for some of you, your blood pressure just went up. But let me tell you, I am so grateful for the way, you know, I was one of these people that, you know, prophecy, it was like, I just believed that that was just not available for me. It's available for all of us. You know, I want to ask this question. What do you believe about the church? Do you believe that the church is a one-man show? Or do you believe in the priesthood of all believers? How many believe in the priesthood of all believers? Awesome. I'm so glad you believe that. That means that you are a priest of God, and you are qualified. You know, my first day at BSSM, the School of Ministry, I know you guys are prophetic, so I know that's not why you're leaving, Ted and Susan. Like, we're out of here. he's going to activate them. We're out of here. They're both very prophetic. But my first day at the School of Ministry, Chris had somebody, I'm so glad it wasn't me, he had somebody stand up and prophesy over somebody else. He's like, we're just going to wait. We're going to wait here. Doesn't matter if you get it right or wrong. We're going to wait until you prophesy over this. He picked the person to prophesy and the person that would receive the prophecy. Yikes, you know? So, but the thing is that we all learned and grew through it. So I want to read this verse one more time. Verse 31, it says, for you can all prophesy. Say, I can prophesy. You can. We can all prophesy. And so, you know, it could be as simple as like, you know, like you're praying for somebody. You're just like, I just feel like God's saying you're on the right track, or God loves you so much. Like, here's the thing. This is what makes prophecy easy. Let me give you a shortcut right here. Excuse me. What makes prophecy easy is when you press in to the love of God. When you just like, God, I'm just, when you sense the love of God for somebody, suddenly prophecy's easy. You don't have to work at it. It could be just as simple as like, God loves you. God just really, I just feel the Lord's affection for you. That's a legitimate prophetic word. And, you know, or, I mean, anything along those lines. If it's encouraging, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and so you can prophesy. So I'm going to take, we're going to take a minute here, just a minute. So I want you to pair up, not with your spouse, so somebody other than your spouse, and tell you what, let's do this. Let's just take a moment, put your hands out like this, and I'm just going to release a spirit of prophecy over everyone in here right now. So I just release the gift of prophecy. God, I thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic gift, and I just release that right now. If you want it, you receive it. And I want you to just ask the Lord if there's somebody in the room that he would have you encourage. All right. And just if you have an impression of somebody in the room, and if you don't, that's okay. Just find somebody nearby. And I just want you to find somebody nearby, and you're just going to take a moment just to pray for each other prophetically, okay? So go ahead, stand up, look around, find somebody. Go ahead and pair up. Find somebody. And it could be a group of three. A group of three is okay. And go ahead and just give them an encouraging word. Okay, when you are available, why don't you just look up at me when you're done? So I just want to see a show of hands. How many people have been were encouraged? How many people got encouraged just now? Awesome. Awesome. I got encouraged too. All right. Well, for those of you that are still prophesying, still praying for each other, you can continue. I don't want to stop that. I want to end that. But the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And may Kansas City win. What? Revival, yes. Kansas City. All right, bless you guys. Just a reminder, the next three Sundays in house churches,